Season 4, episode 30. It's our weekend episode with my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero, who is preparing for a stupid Christmas, like we all are. Yes. And he's got lots of fun playing Santa Claus, you know, with with a little Pancho and all that good stuff. Just another normal weekend of stupidity. So, yeah, and I think it just gets more stupid with all the holidays coming up, which makes it that much more fun.
Okay, he's too stupid to talk and too ugly to eat.
Because it's a great big stupid world on a dirt clod out in space. Where it stops, nobody knows. If Jesus came back today, they'd try to book him on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Because it's a great big stupid world.
He's given a piece of his mind to so many people, it's a wonder there's a mind left. It's Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World.
All of the stupid stories you're going to hear on this podcast are true. And none of the names have been changed because we've all done something stupid. I'm Insane Eric Lane. Welcome to my stupid world. Hey, if you see something stupid, say something stupid. Let me know. You can drop me a message, podcast.insaneericlane.com, and I'll feature it on my podcast, okay? Because I'm always looking for stupidity, but make it 5 stars, okay? I got to find 5-star stupidity because I expect you to give this podcast a 5-star rating and maybe even write a stupid review and make it as stupid as possible because that'll give me something else to talk about on my podcast, okay? And don't forget, make sure you share the podcast too. Because you know there's people out there that are looking for stupidity. So help them out a little bit. And subscribe, too, if you haven't done so. Because this way, you won't miss a single episode every time we've got new stupidity to publish. And don't forget, you can also download the podcast. Because you hate to have your stupidity interrupted with, you know, bad cell service or crappy Wi-Fi. If you download the episode, you can listen buffer-free, okay? Of course, this is our weekend episode, in addition to our midweek episode that we put out every Wednesday, that I throw in the Insane Week in Review and the Genius Awards, so there's just so much stupidity, we can't squeeze it into one episode a week, because with all the holidays coming up, the stupidity increases. I'm already stacking up stuff I can talk about next week. It's like we're floating away with stupidity. And there's a few people just floating away with stupidity out ice fishing. I remember the first time I went ice fishing, you know, brought home 200 pounds of ice. Yeah, I tried to fry it up and nearly drowned the whole family. Well, anyway, about 200 people were out ice fishing on a frozen lake in Minnesota. They ended up having to be rescued because the chunk of ice that they were on broke off and started to float away, according to the Pioneer Press. Police received this 911 call from Upper Red Lake. That's located in northern Beltrami County. First responders found that the anglers are about 30 yards out in open water. And they had to use a drone, and they were able to find a section of ice close enough that a temporary bridge could be constructed for some of the fishermen to cross back to safety, according to the Wall Street Journal. Others were just too far out on the ice to realize what had happened. They were then contacted by a cell phone emergency alert. They brought out airboats, water rescue boats, and ATVs. Finally got everybody back to safety. Yeah, this actually makes ice fishing sound kind of exciting. I don't know. Is it me or do you get the feeling maybe there's just not a whole lot of stuff to do up there in the state of Minnesota? Huh? Yeah. Hold on, Jimmy. I got to grab my emergency. We could be screwed right now bag. Yeah. If this is a common occurrence among people who ice fish, you might think maybe they'd find a different hobby. Yeah. Do they make icebergs with outboard motors, I wonder? I don't know. Well, from something cold and icy to something hot. This is I used to eat, well, I probably still do, have a little breakfast hot pocket, you know. Sometimes they're nice for radio DJs that are always having to, well, we really can't sit still because we've got to be up and alert, you know, doing our radio morning show. So having a hot pocket handy for a quick breakfast is kind of our go-to, right? And, you know, if you've ever had Hot Pockets, well, most Hot Pockets are, you know, consumed within walking distance of the microwave, typically, right? Well, now you might be able to see some folks walking down the street eating a Hot Pocket. They've got Hot Pockets and an apparel company that have created a pair of cargo shorts with insulated pockets. So now we have a literal Hot Pocket. But it's specifically for transporting your heated hot pockets. Really? Now, at first glance, I mean, they look normal, like beige cargo shorts. But they have a cargo pocket on one thigh that's labeled hot with the message, insert sandwich here. The pocket on the other side is labeled cold. The front also has a graphic of a devil that says, stay heated. The limited edition shorts are available in different sizes, from small through extra large, on the Hot Pockets online shop. No word on a price tag, but I'm sure the shorts will come with at least a coupon redeemable for a box of Hot Pockets. There's also a matching hoodie, but it doesn't include an actual Hot Pocket. I don't know about you, but I'd find Hot Pockets a hot mess to eat on the go. So be sure to stuff the other pockets with napkins, okay? Trust me. And also, to be clear, the insulated pockets will only keep the Hot Pockets warm. I have to say this, they will not cook your Hot Pockets, okay? So it isn't like you can be out on the street, you know, vending Hot Pockets out of your shorts or something, you know? Although that might be a good idea, you know? Maybe you can get those little packages that you can keep in your gloves or your shoes to keep everything hot, you know, the little hot packs. So maybe you can stuff them full of hot packs in your hot pocket to put your hot pocket in to keep them hot. Well, anyway, before you hop online to order a pair, I strongly recommend you consider anything on this list I've come up with called Things Wearing Hot Pocket Cargo Shorts Says About You. Yeah, I might get myself a pair of Hot Pocket shorts, you know, but if you decide to wear them, this is what it might say about you. The only thing worse than my taste in food is my taste in clothes, or my nightstand is full of unused condoms. Yeah, that's probably true. Another thing wearing Hot Pockets cargo shorts would say about you, I like to eat on the go, and by eat, I mean humiliate myself. Or I keep my wallet in the microwave, of course. When I see my parents in public, they pretend not to know me. Or I enjoy burning my testicles. Yeah. Another thing that wearing Hot Pocket cargo shorts might say about you, I've never heard of a lunch bag. Or, yes, that is frozen food in my pocket. And no, I'm not happy to see you. Or how about this? I like it when my dogs sniff my crotch. And, of course, the biggest thing that wearing Hot Pockets cargo shorts say about you is help. Yeah. Well, before you laugh at this, remember that your face is part of your head. Keep that in mind. It's important with this story. And, by the way, the word head is right there in the name of shampoo. People on TikTok are claiming if you have acne, the best face wash that you can use is the anti-dandruff shampoo Head and Shoulders. An influencer named Elsie Myers posted about it recently and kick-started the trend. Now, you might remember her epic worst date ever story that went viral. It involved a guy tricking her into buying 100 tacos. We had that story on the podcast as well. Well, anyway, it seems that Elsie says that a dermatologist gave her the tip in middle school, told her that the zinc in Head & Shoulders shampoo is great for your skin. She stopped using it a while back and started buying expensive face wash instead, but her acne came back with a vengeance. So she switched back over to Head & Shoulders again. She says even the generic Walmart version of Head & Shoulders works. Actually, here is Elsie talking about using Head & Shoulders shampoo and getting great results with her acne.
I have been using the Walmart version of Head & Shoulders on my face since I was like in middle school because I had a dermatologist tell me the zinc in dandruff shampoo is incredible for your face. Never had a problem with my skin, always had clear skin, and it wasn't until I stopped that I started getting all of these breakouts on my chin. I started trying to use like the fancy stuff because people were sending it to me for free. Never had worse skin in my entire life. 3 days ago, I threw everything away and started using my dandruff shampoo again. Skin is already clear.
Now, other people have tried it with mixed results. Some say it worked. Others say it made their acne worse, which makes sense, according to the dermatologists who've weighed in. They say it is safe for most people to try. And Head & Shoulders does have a few things in it that can help with acne. But that depends on what's going on with your own skin. So it might not help. Or just dry everything out and make your complexion worse. So use with discretion on your head. And you might even have some acne on your shoulders too, you know. Well, this sounds a little gross, but it's got a pretty big cult following online. Pepsi has just launched a new ad campaign, and they're trying to get more people to try Pilk. Pilk, P-I-L-K, that's Pepsi mixed with milk. Now, they didn't come up with the name or the idea. If you're, well, a baby boomer, you might know where it came from. It was actually on the 1970s sitcom Laverne and Shirley. It was Penny Marshall's favorite drink. Fans have compared it to the taste of a Coke float where you pour soda over vanilla ice cream. Now, the idea also went viral a few years ago, and it's similar to this whole dirty soda trend where you mix in cream and flavored syrups. But now Pepsi's trying to get this Pilk trending for the holidays. They're doing a sweepstakes and an ad campaign with Lindsay Lohan. Here's the advertisement featuring Lindsay promoting this bizarre drink combo.
Nice. Ooh, naughty. Pepsi and milk. Pilk. That is one dirty soda.
Now, if you posted a photo or a video of yourself enjoying some Pilk and cookies, you would be entered into a drawing to win holiday cash. 25 people will be getting $1,000 each. Applicants had to tag Pepsi on TikTok, Instagram, or Twitter with Pilk and cookies, with a hashtag. Pilk and cookies. They also come up with some recipes as well, like mixing in flavored coffee creamer or even using wild cherry Pepsi instead of regular. Yummy. Well, I may as well ditch the eggnog. This kind of reminds me of the drink that my Uncle Clyde got me hooked on as a kid, mixing the Southern sweet tea with milk. He called it the tea milkshake. No lie. I would beg my parents to go to Uncle Clyde's house so I could have a tea milkshake. Now we have Pilk. Actually, I kind of had my bubble burst in college whenever I hung out with a lot of students from the country of Malaysia. Turns out the tea milkshake is a very popular drink in Malaysia, but they call it teh susu. Just a little extra bonus I thought I'd throw in. Well, the administration of New York City Mayor Eric Adams has a new job listed. Maybe you might be interested. They're looking for a rat czar. That's right. Somebody to tame the infamous rodent population in the Big Apple. The posting is officially seeking, quote, a director of rodent migration, who will work to advance the city's efforts to address the policymakers or policy matters in the five boroughs related to curbing the recent increase of rats during the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you have what it takes to do the impossible, says the ad? A virulent vehemence for vermin? A background in urban planning, project management, or government? And most importantly, the drive, determination, and killer instinct needed to fight the real enemy? New York City's relentless rat population? Whoever wrote that ad, I give them an A+ for creativity and persuasion. It goes on to say, if so, your dream job awaits. I can hear it now. My dream job of being the rat czar at New York City. Yes, New York City's citywide Director of Rodent Migration. Put that on your resume once and see what happens. The tongue-in-cheek posting adds that rats are not our friend and are, quote, enemies that must be vanquished. Now, the role with an expected pay range of, wait for it, $120,000 to $170,000 reports to the deputy mayor for operations, and successful candidates are required to be a New York City resident with a bachelor's degree and at least 5 years of relevant experience and a swashbuckling attitude, crafty humor, and general aura of badassery. Yeah. Wow. A bachelor's degree to be the guy to kill all the rats in New York City? Wow, I had no idea that maybe colleges will start having specialty degrees. I don't know. Well, this job posting comes as New Yorkers have increasingly complained about the rats. Yeah, forget about all the violent crime in the Big Apple. The real trouble is the rats. Look, here's an idea. Maybe instead of having New Yorkers shoot each other, have them shoot the rats. Applicants should have experience in pest control and urban management and, well, maybe at least be part cat. Well, a 41-year-old Florida man is facing a felony charge for allegedly striking a female employee at the Dollar Tree who called his wife a Karen during a dispute over grocery bags, according to court records. Police were dispatched to the discount store in Clearwater, Florida, following an alleged battery on the 20-year-old worker, according to the investigators. Genesis Sanchez Canales, the Dollar Tree employee, got into a row with a female customer over the grocery bags. The customer eventually began to videotape the victim due to the verbal argument, according to the arrest affidavit. In response to being filmed, Canales called the woman a Karen. Well, at that point, cops allege that the customer's husband open-handedly slapped the victim on her left cheek. When officers responded to the store, they arrested Jason Allen Dobbins. And since Dobbins had a prior battery conviction, he was charged with a felony for allegedly striking Canales. Dobbins spent the night in the slammer before he had to post a $2,500 bond the following morning. He lives in Newport Richey, Florida. That's a Gulf Coast city about 25 miles north of Clearwater. Of course, if you're giving heat to a Dollar Tree employee over grocery bags, you pretty much define the Karen stereotype. So just own it, okay? The Will Smith School of Conflict Resolution must have been running a sale or something. Huh? Well, I don't know if this tastes good. I also don't know how I'll feel about myself if I start drinking mayonnaise. But the people that make Hellman's and Best Foods mayonnaise want you to try mixing mayonnaise in your eggnog this year. Okay, we've got people mixing milk in their Pepsi. Why not mix a little eggnog with your mayonnaise? Eggs, you know, are the third ingredient in mayo, and they claim that it works even better than egg yolks. They're selling a blended version called Frozen Mayo Nog. Mmm, yum. Well, they're selling it at a place in New York, and it's going to hit the menu at this bar called Amy Fontaine's. Now, for everybody else, they did post the recipe, so you can make homemade mayonnaise eggnog. Each cup's got 4 teaspoons of mayonnaise. Then you add the milk, the heavy cream, simple syrup, nutmeg, vanilla extract, cinnamon, rum, brandy, and cognac. Bingo! Oh, there is a non-alcoholic version also. You can find both of those recipes on Hellman's Instagram. Don't everybody go run out and buy your big jar of mayonnaise all at once, please. And I'm sure we all have these cheeky Christmas stories about this time of the year. And while we're usually guaranteed lights accidentally shaped like a penis or dress-ups and ornaments that are not meant for children, one mom in Australia has given us something a little bit different. And she didn't even realize it until it was too late. She's a Queensland mother of four. Her name is Nicole. She was busy wrapping her Christmas presents when she had to take a second glance at a few of the images on what she thought was fairly innocent and cute wrapping paper. What Nicole did not realize, after already wrapping a few presents, was that she was purchasing the gift wrap from a novelty store Typo. She inadvertently selected something that was a little too merry. The paper, innocently named Christmas Wrapping Paper Roll Online, actually contained X-rated cartoon images. One of the images shows an aroused snowman and another one of a randy reindeer mounting another. Speaking to KidSpot exclusively, Nicole said she didn't actually realize the wrapping was a little rude until she was deep into her wrapping projects for her presents. Nicole said she wasn't planning on ditching the paper completely, but, you know, with children around between the ages of 4 and 16, she wasn't keen on running the risk of her kids asking about the birds and the bees over Christmas dinner. Feeling the need to share the laughter, though, Nicole did post some snaps of the paper in the Christmas Moms Australia Facebook group, and she captioned the two shots, quote, "To anyone who purchased this cute wrapping paper from Typo, just a little thing or two I noticed."
"Mommy, why does Frosty have a carrot sticking out down there?"
Well, a Florida school is instating some pretty new harsh policies and punishments to curb the bad behavior at a local public school. And accompanied by the school board chairman, Matt Sassane, state attorney Phil Archer, and school service workers union representative Dolores Varney, Brevard County Sheriff Wayne Ivey decried what he called, quote, "the failure of the school discipline program here at Brevard Public Schools." To kick off the new rules, the sheriff made an announcement in front of the Brevard County Jail Complex. He promised that this failure would change starting right now. Sheriff Ivey spoke in a live video posted on the sheriff's office Facebook page. Here's part of Sheriff Wayne Ivey's bleeped speech.
"Quite frankly, they're not worried about getting in trouble. They know nothing's going to happen to them. They know they're not going to be given after-school detention. They're not going to be suspended. They're not going to be expelled. Or like in the old day, they're not going to have the cheeks of their torn off for not doing right in class. So we have teachers that are handcuffed. We have principals that are handcuffed."
The sheriff says, "If you're a little snot that's come into our classes to be disruptive, you might want to find someplace else to go to school because we're going to be your worst nightmare starting right now." Florida Today reported that Ivy's video pronouncement about the school discipline comes after swearing in of two new school board members, both endorsed by the sheriff and Governor Ron DeSantis, and Sassine being chosen as the school board chair. Now, it wasn't immediately clear what new policies would entail or how they would take effect. Sassane said the board will sit down with the unions and the state attorney at an emergency meeting to create, quote, "the most prolific policy the school districts ever had." You little snots. Well, the latest prank that's making the rounds on TikTok involves hanging out in a parking lot and surrounding somebody's car with shopping carts while they're inside a store, then filming their reaction. Well, as you might expect, a lot of people got upset. And naturally, that's what the people who are filming and posting these reactions want, because it gets them a lot of attention. Stunts like this aren't exactly new, but they can spread like wildfire online. Recently, it happened to a woman in Oklahoma named Henrietta Love when Henrietta dropped into a Walmart to pick up a few things. She said she was scared when she came out because she didn't understand what was happening. A couple of guys were there. They pranked her again by claiming that, well, they worked at the store and that a manager named Dave told them to do it. So Henrietta ran inside to find Dave. But as you might expect, Dave didn't exist. So Henrietta went on the local news to share her frustration with the stunt and to warn copycats that if you do something like this to the wrong person, there could be trouble. Henrietta says, I wish they'd just go and get a real job. Here's Henrietta with the police officer Ethan Hutchins.
He kept saying his manager Dave told him to do that. So I turned around, went back into the store looking for this Dave. She's like, who are you? You don't work here. You don't work here. And both of them kept saying, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We were hired this morning.
These two individuals are known by the PD. We've had other incidents with them, and they've been trespassed from other properties.
And they want to catch people saying ugly things. When I decided to take their picture, they were like, oh, we forgot to say cheese. I wish they would just go get a real job.
I think some of these morons should be given a job out in the cold, retrieving all of the stranded and abandoned shopping carts. Hmm? They wouldn't get paid. They would just have to be out there and returning them all to the store. You know, everybody has a little stupidity in their world, and frankly, I would like to hear about it, okay? If you've maybe got a great stupid story from your stupid world, maybe you just want to respond to one of mine. I'd like to hear about it. Let me hear from you. You can contact me easily just by email at shoutout@insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E, or if you got a question or a comment about something that you've heard on the podcast or something that Pancho Guerrero has said on the podcast, or maybe you just want to tell me of some firsthand experience of some stupidity you've encountered, well, let me know. I want to hear from you. I might even use your comments on an upcoming episode. So record a message for me at podcast.insaneericlane.com and give me your feedback, okay? And by the way, if you haven't done so already, and I just can't imagine why you haven't already, follow me on social media. You can look me up on Facebook or Twitter by searching out the handle Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E.
Pancho smells insane, Eric Lane.
I never know what to expect anymore. You gotta keep
you guessing. It's the time of the year. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Have you got all five of your Christmas trees put up yet for this year?
You know, this is kind of ironic, I think, that this year we decided not to put the extra tree up in the upstairs. I actually forgot all about this. Yet there's been more action this year without the extra Christmas tree. Yeah. So I'm kind of like, I'm wondering what's going on with that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've just got our one tree and that's it. But you know, we've got the same cat that wants to climb the same tree. So
that's right. That's right. Oh man, yeah. We have two. I guess there's a miniature one that we plug in next to, you know, in little Poncho's room. Right, and he loves it. But we had to lay down the law. I did at least the first day that we got out there. He wanted to fall asleep with it going, and you know that could be a fire hazard because those LEDs, like, they can get hot over time, especially and heat up. And it's not likely to catch fire, but you tend to see more fires happen this time of the year for a reason.
Sure.
And so we're like, no, I'm not going to let you leave it plugged in all night. Well, he didn't like that. And threw the biggest fit, like this is like in the top five that we've had so far with him. And
I gotta admit, I'm going to have to take a little Poncho's side on that one. I mean, I like, I like to fall asleep with the Christmas lights on too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just something.
He liked
about
to live
that.
Dangerously, I guess, right?
Yeah. You know.
Well, he threw such a big fit. I was like, all right, that's it. I'm taking the tree out. Then did he lose it then?
Oh yeah.
We put the tree back in the next morning, but I will say we have not had a Christmas tree fight since then. So
that's good.
And it's been 2 weeks. So it worked.
That's great. And you know, That's the same philosophy I did with my youngest son whenever he pitched, when he was doing some things he shouldn't be doing. The big joke was whenever he was maybe a little bit older than little Pancho is now, he would keep jumping on the bed, and we didn't want him jumping on the bed because he could fall off and all this kind of thing. And I told him if he kept it up, I was going to take his bed out. He didn't think I would. And, well, I did. I disassembled the bed, took it out, and he had to sleep on the floor for a couple of nights.
Yeah, so, you know, when you do something so crazy that they're like, oh, my gosh, he'll do anything.
That's right.
And nothing's off limits. And that is kind of the place where I want, like, my kids to be, when it comes to that. Yep. They listen.
Thing of the past. Never did it. You're never again. You know. So, well, hopefully little Pancho will be old enough this time to get a little better concept or conceptual grip on the whole Christmas morning thing.
Oh, he's already getting a much better concept on everything, and he loves Christmas already. we just got done reading probably about like 7 different little Christmas books with him. He's been really getting into the Christmas books, at least.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And well, the music, too. Is I used to work retail years and years back. It's been hard to listen to Christmas music since working retail.
Right.
But I can say, like, having kids and being far removed from it, I can enjoy the Christmas music again. We went out. There's like, I guess, a house that's kind of known for just decking their house up with Christmas lights and choreographing it to like a radio station that they have. And so we decided last weekend to go out and check it out. Turns out, I guess, when we got there, we still saw the guy outside putting Christmas lights up. And so I guess they're running a little late this year. Yeah. And it kind of makes me wonder, like, is that, you know, Pennsylvania has Punxsutawney Phil in the springtime to see, you know, the groundhog that comes out and is like, oh, he sees his shadow, gets scared, and you got, like, what, another couple weeks of winter or something?
6 more weeks of winter, actually.
6 more weeks. And so I kind of think, like, okay, well, if we show up to the famous, like, Christmas light show and they're late, then does that mean that we've just got 6 more weeks of really hot Florida weather? Because it got really hot this past week, like hotter than it should be for December.
Oh, wow. Okay. Who knows? Well, that's Florida too. I mean, although we've had a little mild, well, we've not really had any snow to speak of so far in Pennsylvania. So I'm still holding out for a white Christmas. I don't think I'm going to get one. We'll probably get a white Valentine's Day. That's probably who we'll end up getting.
I think that you're always safe to bet on that up there.
Well, right. So I guess you were saying you had a crazier than normal week, huh?
Oh, but it's not an exciting crazy. This is an entirely work-based crazy the last 2 weeks. I'm finding a sense of normalcy again, just in time for a vacation next week, where I've got the week off, and then it'll probably come back like full force because of the vacation, since that's how it works.
Of course.
I will say, though, I have not been – I've been growing my beard out for the last several months.
Oh, yes, and you've been honestly, having it's all nice and full.
It's getting full. It's been since July. I've trimmed, you know, the sides a little bit and shaped it up a little bit, or kind of taken these flyaways and trimmed it down. I have done some beard sculpting, but it's been at least maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 months since I've done any kind of sculpting outside of just like a cheek line and a neckline and trimming with like scissors the mustache over the lip. And so it's gotten it doesn't look like as big as it probably should when you hear how long it's been growing, but it's gotten very thick. And now that it's gotten very thick, it's starting to get very noticeably bigger and it's starting to get that volume. And so even to the point where the security guard that I only go into the office 2 days a week and there are different security guards working each of the days. So even the security guard I see once a week in the office, even he's noticing now. Wow. And so that's the point we're at there. So next time you see me, you may not recognize me anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is this,
or you may not be able to see me at all.
Well, I'll be hidden in this. I don't know. This must be the seasons of the beards, because it's like everybody is growing beards for some reason. I don't know why, but
I've always done corporate beard, you know, like that short kind of you know, well, clip guard, whatever corporate beard I call it. But this is the first time I've actually really committed to a full growth.
The closest I've come to anything like that was the goatee and maybe the Fu Manchu mustache, but that's about it. You know, I did. In fact, it was funny. I did the full goatee and everything. And my mother, who really didn't care for it, she went out and bought me a face grooming kit with a little comb and a little brush and everything. But I eventually took it all off just because, you know, I'd go to sleep at night. I didn't like all that hair creating friction on my pillow, you know? So
it's funny. Like I don't have the itch. I hear people talk about the beard itch. I've never had it.
Well, I guess it depends on your skin condition more than anything.
I guess
if you got healthy skin, it probably isn't going to be a problem, you know?
Or maybe my whole face is just one callus, and that's why I can't feel anything.
Well, that's probably it too. You know, of course, has it gotten thick enough though that you can, you know, store leftovers in it?
I'm not sure. Well, we'll see. When I got birds chirping in there creating a nest, then I'll let you know.
Yeah. Well, I want to see when you get the beard to a nice full condition, and then I'm going to watch you. See if you can successfully and gracefully eat a nice big bowl of soup.
I'm not sure how long I'm going to let it go. I've stuck with just whenever, like, I'll know when it gets too long. Like, when I just feel like, okay, this is getting crazy. And then I'll probably sculpt it. I might even, at that point, go somewhere and be like, all right, shape this thing. Because I've done a decent job, actually. I'm actually impressed. I don't have the skill. And it might be good to get a professional shape. And then you kind of just guide it along. You know?
Are you to the point where you can go out and get, like, special beard shampoo and beard?
I have hit that point. So for me to not look crazy in the morning, basically, or throughout the day, I've got to put a little bit of beard oil in. And maybe that helps with the skin itch or something. I don't have the itch.
That's very possible.
And so that way you can kind of keep the skin kind of nice and not dry out there. And it kind of keeps the beard soft. Then you put a little bit of beard balm in, you know, like something like to help shape it. And you kind of help train it to grow in the direction you need it to. So you put hair product in. You put beard product in now, too.
Part of your morning routine is you have to oil your beard before you go to work.
Yeah. I give it a brush, put a little oil in there, give it a little shape, put a little I guess put a little bit of beard balm in there that kind of help it hold and keep shape, and then do a little bit for the mustache, I guess, too, in that way. And then you kind of fix the hair.
I'm wondering if Mrs. Poncho ever wonders if there's anything that's surprising her when she tries to kiss you, anything's going to like come crawling out.
Like a hand that just comes out underneath. I will say she likes it, you know, so that's the other test, right? There's a test of can I bear it anymore? And so far it's been great, easy, and it's looking nice. She actually thinks it looks like, she's like, it's like it makes you look more you. And I guess I've always, you know, she sees more me with the beard, and in a way I feel complimented, I guess, by that.
That will work fantastic until you start seeing streaks of gray in the beard. Then it's probably
There is a singular hair that is looking, and I will say maybe it's blonde. We'll see. But like, there's a singular hair in that beard that looks white, and I think, okay, can I not skip the gray face? Because I think the gray would at least be a nice look. Yeah. But if it goes straight to white, that's not good. That's not good at all. So, but we'll see. I'd like to think it's a blonde hair, and we'll leave it at that.
We'll see. Well, you, a couple of weeks ago sent me this story that it, sure enough, as soon as you sent me this story, it showed up on my radar.
Usually I can predict the future when I see these things.
It's about some let's just call them meth monks that are living in Thailand. Where did you see the story at?
It actually popped up in my regular news feed.
And so it
popped up, and I just thought this will be on the story list next week. And that happens every once in a while. Maybe about 20% of the stories if not well, less, admit, maybe 10% show up.
When you send me these stories, then my radar goes up, and I tend to see if I can look for it also, because, you know, you're kind of like the stupid scout that's out there looking for all the good stuff.
that's right. I saw a couple stupid Florida stories pop up as well on my side. So we'll see if it shows up in an Insane Games or something in a few weeks.
Yeah.
This one's great. All right. And just the optics, headline says it all. Thai temple cleared of all its monks after testing positive for meth. And so when you read a headline like that, it grabs your attention. I got to read this. So Thailand, they've been trying to crack down on drug trafficking. Now, this is especially when it comes to the methamphetamine pouring in from neighboring Myanmar. And there's a drug testing that has just been part of the nation's campaign against it. So, you know, you get your car inspection, you get your national drug test, I guess, as well. Well, the latest group to be busted, however, is a bit of a surprise. And it's one that has cleared out a small Buddhist temple in the middle of the country. This is a quote here. This says, the temple is now empty of monks. This is what Boonlert Thintaptai. I apologize if I butchered that name. I'm sipping on some eggnog at the same time here. And so I'm not sure if I could get the syllables out for that one. They're an official with the Bong San Phan district in Thailand's Phetchabun province. This is what they tell AFP, revealing that four of the holy men, including the head of the temple, have tested positive for meth. Now I'm wondering, is this what makes Thai food taste so good? Because I love some Thai food. I think monks on meth kind of makes it a little official, you know, I guess. Now I have actually heard everything. You know, the civil society is in decline, though, when the monks are, even the monks are on drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That, we've reached a whole new low in societal evolution here, you know.
But, I imagine them basically looking like Jim Carrey from Ace Ventura 2, When Nature Calls.
Yes. So I have to ask, since you mentioned you were also sipping on eggnog, I had a story in an earlier in the podcast about the new thing that Hellman's is trying to get folks to try.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Mayonnaise eggnog or something. I don't even like mayonnaise to begin with, okay? Like, it can be okay with some stuff, but I was more interested in what was it? Volkswagen Italia's new Instagram handle.
that was beautiful. But
if there's anything the Italians know, it's cars and genitalia.
Well, that's true. They have sculptures to prove it too, you know. So when you said you're drinking eggnog, that's the first thing in my mind. I mean, I wonder if he's mixed mayonnaise in with his eggnog.
This is the Costco eggnog liqueur special. Yeah, yeah. $11.99 for a giant bottle. So
I'll say that mixing mayonnaise in your eggnog is still going to be better than mixing meth with your monks. You know, no, nobody is immune from the throes of drugs anymore. It seems, you know. I mean, got some people, I guess, might have a mouth fixation where they got to have something occupying their mouths and. There's a guy that I have a story on here who has a real fixation that's gone beyond that. It's even kind of weighted him down a little bit, quite literally. Doctors have removed 187 coins from this guy's stomach. he attended a hospital with stomach pain, obviously. The man is from Lingsukur, India. He swallowed dozens of coins of various denominations before being brought to the hospital by his family. The doctors were actually rather shocked to find that he had swallowed over 1.5 kilograms of the coins over the last 2 to 3 months, which left him rather heavily bloated and vomiting. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
And the pictures actually show the hall that was scattered across the table at the Hangal Sri Kumashawar Hospital in Belcott City, Karnataka. after being removed in a two-hour surgery. So other images actually show these coins neatly stored away in a line inside the man's stomach, captured by the rather perplexed doctors when they did their endoscopy. So,
I'm looking at the picture now.
Yeah, man. And then, so obviously the surprise on the doctor's face. Dr. Eshwar Kalaburgi says he was suffering from a psychiatric problem. Apparently so. He had been swallowing these coins for the last 2 to 3 months. So it reminded me of a true story when my youngest son, who also had a mouth fixation, would always put stuff in his mouth. And so he was at one of the churches that my wife was playing the piano for. And the church always asked the little children to come up and get cups to go and collect some money for the missions organization. And so my youngest son was one of the kids picked, and he had a little cup, and he went up and down the aisles, and people would put some change in the cup, so they would have to come back and then dump the change into this big bowl or something. That he didn't want to give up the coins. And we had to convince him to give up the coins, and he was not happy about it. So he eventually put the coins in and went on with the rest of the service. And so after the service was over with, we had like a little cookie and coffee hour down in the basement. And so we went down, and they had homemade cookies. And so my wife asked my son if he wanted a cookie. He spit out 35 cents out of his mouth so he could put the cookie in. He'd been holding that money in his mouth the entire time of the service because he didn't want to give them up. So I'm thank goodness it didn't turn into something where this guy is like swallowing 187 coins. You know,
I'd like to think that he was just like there to give the doctor a tip, you know, like you tip your surgeon with the coins that you've got in your stomach.
He had so many coins, I'm surprised he didn't jingle when he was walking down the sidewalk.
Oh man, so when you talk about like all the different denominations, I wonder if he had like a favorite flavor of coin. That's where my mind goes to when I read this.
Does he prefer the copper or the nickel?
Right. You're like, you know, there's something about the sterling pound that just like, you know, when I'm in like a sweet kind of mood, I take a, you know, gold, but a savory, sometimes you like a savory nickel as well.
Yeah. Right. Right. Exactly. Wow.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it kind of makes me think of like the James, you know, James Bond's, like, what was it? His secretary was Money Penny.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, you know, he would like, he'd be like Tummy Penny. I don't know. That's it's bad. But that's the other thing where my mind goes. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to be. Who eats? Like, who's got the wallet for that, first of all?
Man.
I guess the good news, if he ever wanted to go on a diet, though, he could just go crypto.
There you go.
I will say, so, you know, look, psychiatric issues can certainly have a strange effect on a person, I guess. You know, narcissistic issues can also have a strange effect on a person, though. And I can speak from that with experience.
Uh-huh.
And but look, not to mention everyone around them, though, too. All right, you don't want to be on the receiving end of a narcissist, is what I've kind of been able to had the delight to experience, we'll say. But here's a new twist on this, okay? And I think it's pretty funny. I'll read the headline after because the headline is just it's a punchy headline. In fact, all the headlines we pick are punchy. That's how they make the list, I think. If you've ever been in a hospital, you know, it might be worth springing the extra money for the private room, right?
Uh-huh.
This is because there's a 72-year-old hospital patient in Germany that just got arrested for unplugging her roommate's ventilator because the sound of it was annoying her. So, you know, you're annoyed. What else do you do other than commit a little bit of, like, what, second-degree you know, murder or manslaughter. Well, the other patient was a 79-year-old lady who needed the ventilator to breathe and, you know, like stay alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she did this once and the hospital staff told her not to do it again. You're like, oh, you know, silly old lady. That's funny. But like, really, like, you know, they made sure that she understood the ventilator was a life or death thing for the woman. But then she did it again later that night anyways, and almost killed the woman. Now, thankfully, like, doctors had to revive the woman, and luckily, like, she made it. So otherwise, we'd be having a totally different story.
Yeah.
On this, but the lady who did it was in court facing charges for attempted manslaughter.
Wow.
So, headline: a hospital patient kept unplugging her roommate's ventilator because the sound was annoying.
Yeah. It sounds like a typical 72-year-old woman, too, you know?
Uh-huh. So, oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't like this. I've got to unplug it. I can't sleep.
You would have been better off at least pretending to be just, like, delirious or senile, you know?
Oh, my. I've known little old ladies like that. You know, they don't understand. Don't tell me it's your life support. I want this room quiet. <You know? laughs> I'm telling. Honestly, though, I think just it doesn't even have to start with 72-year-old women. I think people anywhere anymore are just getting a lot more brazen with their own selfish, obsessive entitlements these days. You know, I mean, we're already seeing stories. I just saw this today that some Walmarts are actually threatening to close their stores because people are going in and smashing and grabbing all the stuff out of their stores. And they said, okay, we'll just close your store. You know, so these smash and grab robberies is crazy, you know? So you've got that. Now you've got this hospital patient who is inconvenienced by the other patient's life support machine. I mean, you can just say that every man for himself and the, you know, a jungle attitude, you know, that I mean, I got a guy here that's going to jump into the fray and he's going to fight back. But I think maybe he's justified because he's trying to save his pickup truck, which also has his kids inside. So my thinking is this: if you're going to be a person to go and steal a vehicle, you might want to check to see if there's any kids inside, because you don't want to steal a vehicle with children inside. That just makes matters even worse, okay? Because parents will do pretty much anything to hunt you down, okay? Case in point, we've got a thief in Minneapolis driving around in a stolen vehicle for the starters, and then he spots a truck, and apparently he decides he wants an upgrade. So the guy's name, Derek Gochi. He owned the truck, and, well, he was getting something out of the back of the truck when this thief approached him, stole the truck, and took off in it. Derek's four kids, all of which were under the age of 5, were still inside the truck at the time. Obviously, Derek freaked out, but then he looked over and saw the thief's car that was stolen idling nearby. So, hops inside and chases the thief down and rear-ended his own pickup to put an end to the chase. Oh, man, this is like Smoking the Bandit Part 3, you know? Well, we got Dina and Derek Gochi talking about this crazy story.
I see our taillights leaving.
I'm jumping in this van and I'm going after my kids. Raced and caught up to him. As soon as he, like, turned sideways a little bit to get past the parked vehicle, I just hit the back of my truck and push him into this alleyway, trying to pin him against this fence.
I was not surprised at all. I was like, yep, that sounds like my husband.
Thankfully, nobody was injured, but the thief ran off and got away. Now, the Minneapolis Police Department, they're still investigating and still unclear if they even got any suspects. Although they have started a GoFundMe set up for the family to help them out a little bit. But can you imagine? I mean, you're just putting something in the back of your pickup and a guy comes in and just drives off in it?
I think the only way that they could have messed up worse was if they did this to Liam Neeson's truck full of his kids.
Yeah.
But I think that this dad is he's a bad mother father, and I'm down with that. This almost makes me want to have a vehicle stolen with my kids in it. Because this dad is going to have the coolest story to share with his kids for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah.
And their lives. And it'll be something that goes down as a fond memory, I think, in time.
Not to mention the kids are going to have quite the story to tell about their dad.
Oh, exactly. My dad's a bad mother father. and so I like this story. This This is which honestly, this is what I would do anyways. I'd probably have the police in on there too, and they'd be like, "All right, you shouldn't." Maybe I shouldn't call the police because then, you know those things like when you have maybe a fun prank you want to pull, and it's not like destructive, but also like you could get in trouble, and so you're better off kind of like acting innocent and asking for forgiveness than permission. Uh-huh.
Right,
because if you get permission and then go against it, okay, well, you get in trouble for disobeying.
Right.
But if you don't know not to do something and it's a reasonable thing to do, then, forgiveness, I'd be like, all right, no, I'm going after this guy. Not even a question in my mind for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you got to admit, the dad had to be kind of precarious. He couldn't get too rowdy because you want to stop the carjacker, but you got your four kids in the vehicle as well.
As well as your Ford that you want to take care of.
Well, yeah, that too.
Well, then again, I guess most Fords are found on the side of the road broken down. So maybe less than this. I'm just kidding. Ford trucks are good. But I think the guy was just lucky he didn't get run down by this dad running away from there. I personally would have been like, the kids are fine. I'm running after this guy and I'm tackling this dude and making sure he doesn't do this again, because I would have been running on adrenaline. I guess the carjacker was lucky that he got away, considering what any dad would have done if they caught him, the pair. I would almost think I call the police while he's pinned down and then call my kids over to like kick him while he's on the ground. Because if they're all under five, the kicks aren't going to hurt at least that bad. It's just going to be, a little, I guess,
humiliation.
Exactly. No, that's exactly it. But I think that a little humiliation sometimes, is a more fitting and better punishment. Yes. And that kind of goes for, I think, these next criminals as well. Look, you've got criminal masterminds, like from a Liam Neeson movie or something, or like a James Bond movie, since I mentioned that earlier. But then you've got the wet bandits or whatever, from like Home Alone. Gotta keep it Christmas themed, right? You got like Marv and Harry. These are more of a Marv and Harry kind of criminal we've got right here. Police in Oregon, they are looking for two guys who crashed their van into a convenience store. And they wanted to steal an ATM. So they backed the van into the building to get access to it. And they loaded the ATM into their van and pulled over in another parking lot where they began to apparently try and blow up the ATM to get the loot inside. Now, they know this because security cameras caught their van with a raging fire in the back of it.
God.
So yes, they were trying to blow it up inside the back of the van. So it's unclear what happened after that. But since the police are still looking for them, they must have gotten away. I would say, look for the van that's got, I guess, what... charred, ATM
back in is charred.
Yeah, but the cops didn't say if they think the guys still have the van and or the ATM.
Wow. I mean, do you think it's going to be that easy to get into an ATM if you steal it? You don't think they don't somehow jimmy them suckers where you can't get into them very easily?
Absolutely. Yeah.
We got the ATM in the back of the van. How are we going to get into it? Hey, I got an idea. Let's blow it up. Okay, why not?
It's almost like they don't realize how explosives work anyways.
It's not like the ATM was sitting over the gas tank in the van.
Those ATMs are solid. And so you have a basically solid object with a bunch of open space in an enclosed van.
Yeah, you got
all
you got
the pressure from that explosion is going to be essentially pushed away from the ATM and everything else.
Well, you got a solid ATM and a pretty solid bunch of blockheads trying to figure out how to get into the ATM. It's amazing these guys actually made the getaway after nearly being burned alive because of their stupidity, frankly. But at least they were smart enough to pull the crime off when there were no police watching, I guess, you know, which might have been a good idea for this stupid criminal that happened in Florida. Okay. And frankly, this is just even more bizarre. I mean, because if you if you ask a shopping expert, what is the stupidest time to try to steal something? Well, maybe try to steal something when there's cops in the store. Not that I'm an expert or anything. I would say that's just common sense. But it's even worse when the store is full of police officers. Okay? We got a Florida guy, a Florida man. His name is Brad. And Brad got himself arrested for allegedly trying to steal from a Walmart while the store was having one of those shop with a cop events. So there were about 40 officers shopping with the kids at the Walmart location at the time, including the county sheriff. This guy, hey, look, if you go big or go home, okay? Not surprisingly, this guy, Brad, had drug paraphernalia on him at the time as well, including a meth pipe.
Oh, maybe he was a monk.
Oh, yeah, I never know. That's true. Yeah, well, the department posts on Facebook, seriously, we just can't make this up. They haven't said what charges he's facing, but the Facebook post also contained photos of items associated with Brad, including a bottle of perfume, gloves, and what appeared to be hedge clippers, a syringe, and a container with a plastic baggie containing some unknown contents. But Brad clearly thought the shop with the cop program, I guess, was a challenge designed for tweakers to see who could steal the weirdest three-item combo in a store full of cops. And it was up to him to set the new high score, you know? I mean, I'm wanting to know, where exactly did he shove those hedge clippers to hide them from the, on his way out?
In my mind, I like to think of the hedge clippers as being used like cigar cutters, but for like a Cheech and Chong size, like blunts.
Yeah.
The shop of the cut. Do you ever watch the movie Rat Race back in the day?
No, I haven't seen that one.
There's this scene in there where Cooper, like, yeah, they're all trying to race in this giant pot. Like, it's like an amazing race. The first person to get to the destination wins like $1 million or something.
Oh, yeah.
But really, the real bet is at a casino. The real bet is these like rich people that are betting on who is going to be the first to get there. And so there's a much bigger pot that's at play for the people above betting on them getting there. And so everyone gets more and more desperate trying to race to get to this place first.
Yeah.
Hilarious movie. I mean, it's worth a watch. You're going to laugh. It's just funny. There's tons of good actors in there that you'll see. But there's a scene in there with actor Cuba Gooding Jr. He basically steals a bus driver's uniform at a truck stop so that he can get a vehicle because his vehicle crashed. He's trying to get somewhere, and he's like, all right, I can steal this bus. And he gets on there, and it apparently is a bunch of Lucille Balls or cosplaying people as Lucille Ball going to a I Love Lucy convention.
Oh, God.
And so he's driving this bus full of like a bus full of just I Love Lucy's and people doing their own best, worst impressions of Lucy, facial reactions and expressions and sayings and whatnot.
Right.
That is kind of how I envision this guy walking into like a place where you just got cops everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, like Lucille Balls everywhere, but they're cops.
Yeah.
And you decide, yeah, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, while carrying a meth pipe and drug paraphernalia.
No, I know. You know, in all honesty, maybe those drug paraphernalia and meth pipe had a lot to play with this thing. But I would certainly say that guy, you know, his Walmart shopping experience certainly reached an arrested development. There was another kind of, arrested development that was reached with our last story of the day. Usually when you're trying to get people to go off or to get off, I'm flipping this around. Usually with this woman's profession, you're trying to get people off, not firearms off.
Okay.
There it is. Couldn't get that out of my mouth. But this story, and look, I'm going to just be upfront with you. There is a lacking amount of clarification at the end of this. I've got more questions than answers after reading this story. And so I guess we're going to have to use our imaginations to kind of see what happened or the outcome of this was. But there's a 27-year-old Georgia woman who was working as a webcam model for a popular pornography site, and she accidentally shot herself in the vagina.
Oh!
According to a police report that's chronicled this bizarre incident. And they reveal what a witness says was a pornographic video gone horribly wrong, which is definitely not a phrase that you want to be, saying, let alone hearing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're the one in the video. Well, according to the report, e-girl Lauren Hunter Damon accidentally discharged the weapon, a 9mm handgun, in fact, while alone in her bedroom, while several of her housemates were on the property. Around noon, cops were called to the scene of the Thomaston home after receiving a report of an accidental gunshot wound. I'm sorry. I don't go off prematurely like that. But anyway, upon arriving at the scene, Upson County Sheriff's Deputy Zachary Wall immediately encountered an EMS worker in the woman's driveway clutching the handgun as well as a spent bullet casing. The paramedic notified the officer that the female had shot herself in the vagina accidentally, the report reads.
Oh.
And that's where it ends.
Yeah.
So I don't know how bad it was. Like, it grazed, or, we're talking like pelvic region, or are we talking like there's – what are you doing with a handgun in a pornographic video anyway in a porno?
Yeah.
And like, normally, aren't you supposed to grab, like, the bigger guns? The bigger things in those kind of videos? I don't know.
It's obvious she did shoot the wrong gun at her vagina.
Yes. And I already made the joke, but, talk about a premature, would you consider a bullet leaving a gun an ejaculation of a bullet?
Let's just say that it was a very painful ejaculatory accident, I will say.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, there are so many jokes that could be made at this point, but I'm just hoping that the poor woman lived to film another movie. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I don't know what it's going to look like after all the surgery and cosmetic things or whatever, but I'm sure if there's anything this podcast has taught me, there's going to be a market for you. So if anything, you'll be able to charge more money on your webcams after this.
Well, that's probably right. And we could quote what a sheriff said from last week's podcast, and that is, she changed the look of her genitalia forever.
That's right. Look, there are easier ways to do this. All right. You could just, what was it that the guy did last night? You could just steal a car, run around, go on a police chase, and then run out of your car with a rifle. And then they will shoot you in the junk for you.
Yeah.
You don't
right,
have to do
right.
this yourself.
Oh, brother. Now, well, I know that it definitely left a mark one way or another, I've got some Ask Pancho questions for you, and we've got Nayla asking a question about marks, but it's not necessarily a mark of an injury of some sort. She's wanting some clarification, some advice. She's says her husband wants to make the hoof marks in their yard for Christmas Eve. Now, I can kind of understand this. I mean, I had fun putting boot marks in our fireplace on Christmas Eve whenever the kids still were thinking that Santa Claus was coming down our chimney. But this is what Nayla writes for finding some advice from Pancho. She says, so my husband has this grand idea on Christmas Eve to put hoof marks in the yard to show the kids as evidence of Santa's sleigh. My reaction was, wouldn't he be landing on the roof? Yes, he said. but I'm not damaging the roof. Now, I'm not sure how excited the kids would be about this since they have a bunch of presents, but he's seeking out the best way to do it anyway. Thoughts?
Look, if you're going to put it in the yard, you might as well go the whole 9 yards and take a nice steaming dump out there as well and blame it on a reindeer. So I've got two thoughts with this. Either A, he would only be landing on the roof if you've got a chimney, right? So do you have a chimney? And if you have a chimney, then just put the dang boot marks on the fire pit. What my grandpa used to do when I was a kid, you know, if you got like extra carpet, you know, rolled up in a closet or something like that, cut out like a kind of like a floor mat, you know, like what you'd put in front of the door or, you know, by the bathroom, you know, tub or something, or like the kitchen sink, and just cut out a little floor mat to kind of protect there and put it in front of the fire pit. And if the kids ask, you say, oh, I'm putting this out to give Santa a place to wipe his feet off whenever he gets on there, because I don't want to get soot all over the carpet. And so, and then you take the boot prints and you just boom, plant them right in that sucker. And you are solid to go. And so, you know, that was what I remember growing up was the boot print experience, like what you gave your kids. So now, if you don't have a chimney, then like, of course, the front yard, well, it's an easy thing to explain away. You know, honey, we don't have a chimney. Of course, Santa would need to land on the ground then. He's not going to be able to get in the house from our roof. I've also seen enough National Lampoon Christmas Vacation type movies to know that going on the roof like that is only asking for disaster for yourself.
I don't know. He's not wanting to damage the roof, but he'll damage his yard with hoof marks.
Oh man. Well, I mean, hoof marks aren't going to damage it that much.
If he really wanted to be impressive, he could put sleigh tracks on the yard too.
Yeah, why stop there? Just keep it. Even if the kids don't appreciate it, I think your husband would like it and have fun. And so just let them, you know, guys and dads in general, we get obsessed with things sometimes. Like this out of nowhere, you get obsessed with something and you put all of your energy and time into it. And then afterwards, you're just like, I never want to do this again. And you find the next thing. It's a normal thing. Let your husband do his guy thing, okay?
Yeah, get it out of his system.
Yeah, well, no, it's not a matter of getting out of his system. It's just like, because all it does is it gets one thing out to let something else in. but that is like, and that's true. If you are like, hey, I'm done with this hoof mark thing, then letting him get it all out is a good way for him to move on to the next thing. But I will say, you know, maybe the next thing might even be more extreme and crazy. Yeah, that's typically how these things tend to go, I think, with men. So you're better off just kind of going along for the ride, I think. I've got one more as Poncho as well. And I like this here because this is funny. This makes me think of my family a little bit. More so your sister, my mom.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Carter. He says, anytime I'm out with my dad and there's someone who doesn't speak English, my dad does that thing where he just talks louder and slower as if the person is dumb. And it's so embarrassing. I also don't speak other languages, so I can't apologize on his behalf. But I understand that because someone speaks a different language doesn't mean they're a toddler. Yeah. Is he too old to change his ways on this? Look, this all depends on how old your dad is, but chances are you're lost. You know, you're better to kind of just create a degree of separation between the two of you so that when it happens, you just give that person that look, let they know, like, at least you're not in on it. I'm sure that you already know the look, right? You know exactly the look.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll know. They'll know. You have to wash your hands clean of this. My mom, for the longest time, would call even simple, like, Spanish words that are English words, basically, like tortilla, right?
Yeah.
We all know tortilla. But she would say, like, tortilla. She'd add letters into it that don't even exist there. And so I laughed that I would marry a Mexican American woman who speaks Spanish. And she'd always laugh at me like, oh, you know, because I took Spanish classes. She's like, your Spanish speaking is so funny. But I'm like, you know what? Like, it's actually not bad. And so now it's just funny with, 15 years after all that, being in the place where I am now with a Spanish-speaking daughter-in-law here that they've got.
To go over and have tortillas. That's great.
The tortillas, I know.
Well, this literally reminds me of my own mother, because we had some non-English-speaking people in our house many times because my dad was a Rotarian. And mm-hmm. we would occasionally sponsor international students to come. They would stay at our house, you know, for a month or so. It's a cultural exchange. And we had a guy from Finland that stayed with us. We had a guy from France, a guy from Germany. And so my mother, who actually speaks pretty, she spoke pretty fast. She talked pretty fast, but with a very bad Southern accent. But she's trying to... talk to this guy. And of course, you know, he's not following what she says. And so she just keeps getting louder and louder and louder. And I remember my dad coming to my mom one time and he says, honey, I think he can hear you really well. You just need to slow down a little bit.
Yeah. See, I guess that's where it's all learned from. And I will say my mom's not that bad. Okay. And so I'm glad that I don't have any family members that do what your dad does, at least.
Oh yeah.
It is pretty embarrassing.
Oh yeah. If my dad would get around, you know, I would bring, you know, international students home from college, you know, for like a weekend. And they would, you know, of course, my dad, he got a little more and more accustomed to it, but he would go full tilt Arkansas in front of all my international students. You know,
just on purpose?
on purpose, yeah. Just and it's like, I'm like, oh my gosh, can my dad get any more redneck?
Oh man, some of my favorite people to hang out with when I was in college were some of the international students too. There's a friend of mine from France and a friend from Germany that were both kind of really fun people to hang out with. And I will say their English was good, at least. I never had to deal with any kind of difficulties communicating, but
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah, I brought a lot of Asian students home, and they loved, actually. I brought a couple, a brother and sister from Hong Kong to our house. And this is at the time that my sister had a horse that she had at, we couldn't keep a horse in our backyard, so we kept it at a friend's house. They had a farm. So we took them out to the farm to let them ride. They had never seen a horse in real life ever. They'd only seen it on TV. So we let them ride bareback on this horse. And of course,
Oh yeah.
And the best part, they were riding double on the back of the horse until the horse spotted the barn and realized he wanted to go to the barn and took off in a pretty, let's just say, a nice trot back to the barn. And all you could see was their crop top black hair bouncing up and down as they're galloping toward the barn, and they're speaking all this Chinese and they're trying to get it to stop. But when we get them off the horse, they're like, they're saying, oh, they feel like John Wayne. it's always fun when you bring in these non-speaking English people to your parents and you have to try to interpret between the two of them.
I find it a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, do I need to do any interpreting for the insane games for you this week?
I'd like to think that I'm at least a little bit of fluent in the insane games at this point.
You can really get up close and personal by interacting with the podcast and get the real-time updates and a little of the articles from the stupid stories that you hear when you join Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World Telegram channel.
I'll be posting links to the stories that I read here on the episodes. You are able to read the actual articles, see the pictures, look at the videos, make comments about what you have actually seen or read or even heard about, and even share some of your own stupid stories with everybody in the community. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane. You get a preview of the channel, and there's also an opportunity to just download the Telegram Messenger right there from the preview channel right to your device, desktop or mobile, for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple. And also, you can interact with me as well on social media. Follow me at insaneericlane on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the website at insaneericlane.com.
Well, what do you feel fluent in doing?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's start off with steakhouse or gay bar.
Oh, okay. Well, you're gonna start off with one that you do pretty well on, I guess. Okay, so we've got some businesses here that you can decide based upon their name and where they're located whether they are a steakhouse or a gay bar. We've got one here from Pasadena, California. I love the name of this one. It's called the Royce Wood.
The Royce Wood. The Royce Wood. Oh, man. Like a Royals Royce?
Yeah, that's kind of how it's spelled. Yeah, the Royce Wood.
Yeah, it sounds fancy to me. And so I think it sounds expensive. I'm going to say it's a steakhouse.
It could be an expensive gay bar, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, you're luxury. But
it's a steakhouse. Yeah. Yes, very good. I do like the name. That's very clever. And here's another one that's equally just as clever. This one's called The Rock in Phoenix, Arizona.
The Rock. Well, I think you go to The Rock to get your rocks off. So I'm going to say it's a gay bar.
Yeah, man. Once again,
maybe you go there because your heart is a rock.
Yeah. Once again, you got the finger on the pulse, I guess. I guess
on the one giant vein.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. All right. Your next one is in Marion, Illinois. It's called 20s Hideout.
20s Hideout. Oh my gosh. 20s Hideout. Okay, so this all depends. Like, this could go either way. If it's 20s, meaning 20-year-olds, then I'm going to say that it's a gay bar. But this is what I think it is. I think it's going for one of those, like, you know, 1920s, like a prohibition kind of, like, you know, joints to get an experience there. I think it's a steakhouse.
Well, you did a very good analysis on that. It is exactly a steakhouse. And I think that might have been the reason why you call it that. So who knows? All right. Your next one is called Club David in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Club David. With the name club in the middle of it, it's either a verb, right?
Yeah.
Club David. Or I think it's a gay bar.
You just think it's a gay bar?
Yeah,
you're not going to elaborate on it, huh?
I'm thinking, like, you know, I'm like the Statue of David.
I see what you're saying.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, saying.
Right. Yeah. It goes back to the whole thing with the rock. Is that what you're saying?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess there's a lot of rocks.
It's a gay bar. That's very good. All right. And here's one I think is very interesting. This is in Fargo, North Dakota. It's called Cork and Cleaver.
Cork and Cleaver. First time I thought it was going to be like Cork and Cleavage. And I was like, well, that's not a gay bar. Cork and Cleaver.
Cork and Cleaver.
Okay, well, I mean, it depends on what you're referring to as a cork. And where the, you know, is the cork going in the cleave or not?
Yeah, right.
But I will say, I think Cork and Cleaver sounds like a nice place for for wine and steak. I'm going to say steakhouse.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, very good. Very good. You did a perfect five on that one. So very good.
I'm feeling it. Maybe it's a Christmas miracle. I don't know.
Well, either that or maybe it's that eggnog. You've got some extra ingredients in the eggnog you're having tonight, you know. So, all right, what do you got next? What are you in the mood for?
Let's go porn star weatherman. We'll see. I'll measure it based on who's most likely to shoot themselves in their own junk.
Yes. Well, there you go. All right. Well, we've got a list of entertainer names here. You just tell me which one you think is the porn star or the weatherman. Our first entertainer's name is Wade Nichols.
Wade Nichols. This is tough. Wade Nichols. I'm going to say, I think we've heard this name before. I've just heard so many names on this show that my brain is mush. Wade Nichols, I'm going to say that is a porn star.
It just sounds like you're just taking a shot in the dark on that. But
I'm basing it on Wade, the name Wade, not Weatherman.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's an entertainer's name of Reynolds Wolf.
Reynolds Wolf. There's something about like this sounds like a stage name, right, for porn star. But there's something about like people on in the media, or like radio or TV, where they get these like names, right? Like Wolf Blitzer, or Wolf Moon, Wolf Man Jack. You get these things. I think this is a weatherman.
You think it's a weatherman? Well,
I think it's a weatherman.
Reynolds Wolf is a weatherman on the Weather Channel, believe it or not. You know, how you like that? All right. How about this one? This one is interesting. This entertainer's name, Johnny Mountain.
Johnny Mountain. I think this for sure is he's a mountain man. He's a porn star, I'm pretty sure.
Johnny Mountain is a weatherman.
Is he really? There's no way.
California.
It's such a good porn star name, though.
It really is. It really is. Johnny Mountain in Los Angeles, California.
I had no shot with that one. With a name like that, there's no shot.
That's right. Well, how about this one? This one's entertainer's name is Justin Hunt.
Justin Hunt. I would say Justin Hunt is a porn star.
Yes, he is. Any particular reason you felt he was a porn star?
Intuition on that one.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see how intuition works with this entertainer's name, Casanova Nurse.
Oh my gosh, it's like the best name. If that's a real dance, so Casanova, already you're thinking like this guy's like a ladies' man or something, you know. And then I'm thinking like the Animaniacs. Hello, Nurse. So Casanova Nurse.
Yep.
I have a feeling this is going to be maybe the opposite of what I'm going to say, just because I don't know. I get this hunch, but I've got to go with it. I'm going to say porn star.
Well, you were right in one regard. It happens to be. Casanova Nurse is a weatherman in Tallahassee, Florida.
No, that sounds like a stud.
That's it. I saw that. I'm like, this is going to be the biggest wrench to go in the middle of this one.
Oh, man.
Like, I don't even know. I wasn't even going to predict how you would react whenever I'd give you the name. It was just like, wow, that's just outrageous. All right. What do you got next that's going to try to throw you for our insane game?
Man, those are some good names. Do you think that Wade Nichols likes to swallow a nice load of change?
I don't know. I mean, that's he may have a belly full of nickels himself.
Let's jump to the rehab or golf course or rehab.
Golf course or rehab. All right. These are businesses that you tell me if they are either a golf course or a rehab. Your first business is located in Henderson, Nevada. It's called Reflection Bay.
Reflection Bay. Okay. I've heard Reflection Bay before. And look, with a name like Reflection, I think that begs kind of looking back at how did I get here? And that sounds like a very rehab thing to do. Well, I'm going to say rehab.
You could also do a lot of reflection on a golf course too, you know. Turns out it is a golf course. So, yeah, the reflection, but you could, you can reflect on life as you try to decide how you're going to get that little ball in the hole out there. So, here's one in Mays Landing, New Jersey, called Hamilton Trails.
Hamilton Trails. I don't know many trails that are golf. Maybe that is a golf. I really don't play a lot of golf. I'm going to say this is a rehab, though.
Well, Hamilton Trails will take you on a golf course. Two golf courses already. All right. Well, maybe this will give you a good hint on this business in Baltimore, Maryland, called Pine Heights.
Pine Heights. I'm going to say rehab.
That's more like a rehab right there. Very good. Yeah. Any place where they got pines kind of gives you the rehab vibe. You know? Yeah.
It's very, very, relaxing, peaceful.
Breeze, you know, this kind of thing. Yeah. All right. Here's one, kind of an interesting name, called South Plains in Lubbock, Texas.
South Plains? Yep. I'm going to say golf course.
So it turns out that place is a rehab. Yeah, it's in Texas. So, well, let's try your last business, which is located in Austin, Texas. It's called Lost Creek.
Lost Creek. I think you go to Lost Creek when, I think you want to get lost in Lost Creek. Get lost in the game. I'm going to say it's a golf course.
All right. Get lost. I was wondering, where are you going to go with this here? It is a golf course indeed. So that was a bit of a challenge for you this week. So let's see if you can do better with strip club or daycare. And we got a few interesting names for these businesses here this week. This one is located in New York, New York. It is called Push My Swing.
Push My Swing. What kind of swing does it say in the subtext?
It doesn't tell you which way you're swinging either. So,
Push My Swing. That's a weird name for any of those two things. Push My Swing. I do a lot of pushing my son on a swing on a daily basis. So I've got to lean on the daycare on this one.
Definitely so on that. Definitely a good name for a daycare. It's creative, I will say that for sure. All right, we got one in Oregon called Kit Kat Club.
Kit Kat Club. Oh, gosh. You know what? Look, I might as well call it a Tit-Tat Club. I'm not going to even try to continue with this, but Kit Kat Club, that's such a weird-sounding name for I think it's a strip club.
So you think it's too weird for a daycare?
It absolutely is.
Okay. It is a strip club. Very good. And I guess you go to the Kit Kat Club if you need someone to give you a break. So. All right. Here's one. It's called Daydreams in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, boy. This is going to be Daydreams. I think Daydreams is a place that you take your business partners to lunch at when they are there, right? Or that's maybe a base of old school stereotypes. I think it's a strip club.
You go to Daydreams for your wet dreams, I guess.
Daydreams for your afternoon delight.
Yeah, definitely a strip club for sure. Okay, and here's a business called The Cradle Inn in Gorham, Maine.
The Cradle Inn. I'm going to say it's a daycare.
Lots of cradles there, I guess. Yes, it is a daycare. Very good.
I would say, yeah. But cradling, I think it's safe.
Yeah, I'd be kind of a really bizarre name for a strip club for sure. All right, well, here's one that might be interesting in Council Bluffs, Iowa, called Playhouse.
Playhouse, okay. These are the ones that are almost impossible to know. It's just a 50-50. But usually when there's something that sounds like it would be extra gross as a strip club, they don't disappoint. So I'm going to say it's a strip club.
Well, you don't disappoint. It's definitely a strip club. Mm-hmm. Very good. You had a a good, good, good radar out on that. On that, that that's good. All right. Well, we got the best for last. We've got your fake news from Florida. And we got some headlines here. You tell me if these stories are actually fake or if they actually happened in the state of Florida. Your first headline, a woman got married to a tree, so it could not be legally cut down.
Florida.
Oh, 100% Florida. You had Florida written all over it. What are you talking about? All right. Here's one. A Bradenton policeman caught two 10-year-old kids driving their parents' car to McDonald's after they were ratted out by a man who was also driving a stolen car.
There's a lot going on in the story. I'm going to say that's fake news, though.
There's just too much going on in this story.
Too much.
Correct. If you're fake, it's fake news. 100% fake. So definitely too much. Even for Florida's standards, you might say. All right. Your next headline. A woman dressed as a turkey was arrested for shoplifting.
A woman dressed as a turkey. I think at that point, like the shoplifting would just be like trying to, you know, like stuffing inside the turkey, right? oh, man. This is tough because it could happen. It's simple enough. But it's also weirdly Thanksgiving themed, but it's the right amount of time after Thanksgiving for fake news stories to go Christmas instead. I think this is going to be a real Florida story.
Oh, yeah. Well, good discernment. It actually happened. It's 100% real. I'd love to be in that store when it took place. That's pretty amazing. All right. Your next headline, a female congressional candidate claimed that she communicated telepathically with extraterrestrials.
Are you talking about like Demi Lovato? I always forget her. What was that one candidate in like Virginia that's like, witch. I used to know her name because it's so funny. All right, communicating with extraterrestrials. Florida, I'm going to say, look, that's a pretty bold lie to go out there to say that someone that's a public figure. I'm going to say that that is a Florida story.
Yeah, well, of course it has to be Florida. That's typical. All right, that's good. All right, and your last headline, a man was busted for abusing 911 after he called to report a stripper who refused to give him boom boom.
Boom boom. I think they call it snoo snoo now. if you're a Futurama fan, at least.
Yeah.
I think this is fake news.
Oh, yeah. Definitely fake news. Absolutely. I think he would be, it'd be something completely different, I'm sure, with that. But definitely you did very well on that. I think just really the only one you had trouble with is those crazy golf courses, you know?
It's always a toss-up for that one.
I think if you played golf more often, you would probably do better on that. Maybe that should
I probably
be something.
Would.
Yeah, you know, take up. You're already smoking a pipe and drinking whiskey. You may as well go in and take up golf.
I know that. I will say when I have played golf, I play it like I used to play baseball, and so
there you go. Yeah,
it's not the same. Like it's all about the hips, and I keep wanting to just use the arms with it, and it doesn't work well for me.
It's more about the follow through, you see. You know, and that's one thing I did learn about playing golf. It's not about exactly where you're going to hit it. It's the follow through after you hit the ball, you know. So, but in any case, we will definitely get plenty of stuff for you next week. I've got almost a full slate already done, and I haven't even finished the week yet. So,
oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the holidays bring out the stupid. I mean, it really does. And so we've got some real hummers for next week. I can't wait for you to pick through the headlines to see which ones you're going to get. For me, it's more fun to see which ones you're going to pick. You know, I throw them out there and I'm thinking, nah, he won't pick that one. Oh, no, he'll pick this one for sure. I've got this debate going on in my head. Which one will Pancho pick for this week? You know, so
I feel like your Pancho Guero kind of barometer has to be pretty fine-tuned at this
point. Oh, yeah. So far, you pick usually about 7 stories, and I'm going to say I'm doing at least 5 or 6 out of 7 most of the time.
That's solid, yeah. Hey, that's much better than my golf course and rehab, batting average.
If you like the podcast, well, why don't you subscribe and rate and review it? Give it a 5-star rating, because I try to pick 5-star stupidity. Of course, if you write a stupid review, I just might read it on an upcoming episode. Rating and reviewing the podcast helps it to show up prominently in searches for those that are desperate and searching for stupidity. Of course, don't forget to share the podcast on social media feeds, since you don't want to be known for being stingy with your stupidity. And of course, when you do subscribe, you can get your stupid fix every time new episodes are published to your favorite podcast player. And here's a little hack. If you download every episode, you can listen buffer-free. That is, if you don't have adequate internet coverage, of course. And if you're looking for a good podcast app, let me recommend Podcast Addict. That's available at your app store. It is free. They have a couple of paid versions as well, and it's amazingly customizable. And don't forget to follow me on social media. Use the handle @InsaneEricLane. That's E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E on Facebook and Twitter. And you just find everything about the podcast, and, well, maybe more than you need to find out about me, at my website, InsaneEricLane.com. If you think I have written all the stuff that goes into this podcast, you're giving me way too much credit. No, I have to give credit to a talented bank of writers that I rely on for most of this stupidity. I haven't got enough hours of the day to go scoping out all the stupidity that's out there. So I have to give props to Mr. Laughs Comedy and Ad Large Media, Premier Prep, Wise Brother Media, the Universal Comedy Network, and Pulse of Radio at the United Stations Radio Network. Thanks for sticking it out through my stupid world. And if you're feeling a bit crazy, I hope you'll follow me on Facebook or Twitter at Insane Eric Lane, and visit InsaneEricLane.com. And if you're feeling a bit insane and want to make your own podcast, you can do it with Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast ever. The only platform where you can publish to major podcast outlets like Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music with a single tap of a button on your phone. Whether you're capturing your own voice, taking call-ins from listeners, conducting remote interviews with anyone, or broadcasting full-length songs from Apple Music or Spotify. Available today for iOS and Android, and it's 100% free, entirely mobile, and so easy to use that literally anyone can make a podcast, even me. Find out more at anchor.fm.